Bibles this morning and turn to verse 71. When you find your place there, if you're able to stand, if you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're going to read just that one verse, Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119:71, it says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this last Sunday of 2025. It's been an interesting and wonderful year that you've given to us, and looking forward to what you have for us in the coming days and weeks and months and years, as if you allow us to remain here. Father, as we look into your word this morning, it's a subject that we probably don't want to look at, but it is good. As the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I pray, Father, that we would be mindful, that we'd be thankful. Your word tells us in everything give thanks. So I pray, Father, that you would give me the words to preach this morning, that you would give us ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that we would take to heart the things that we learn and we'd apply them to our lives and share them with others. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish now, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I took the title for this sermon from our text, Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, what rational man would say such a thing? When you think about it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? It doesn't make sense that it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that we would say that. But doesn't Paul basically say the same thing in Romans 8:28? When he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Basically, he's saying the same thing there. All things include good and bad, doesn't it? But it's difficult sometimes to understand. It's hard to understand that it's good for us to be afflicted. We have a hard time understanding that it could be good for us to be afflicted. But while we can't see the good, doesn't mean that God cannot. When the Apostle Paul said he was given a thorn in the flesh, right? He must have felt this way. He prayed three times that God would deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. And each time God said, no. Each time he said, no, Paul, I have a purpose for you to go through this. So why did Paul get this thorn in the flesh? Why did God give this to Paul? I believe for two reasons. Number one, because of the special revelations that God gave him. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why did God give him this thorn in the flesh? Well, in verse 7 he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations God has given, when he caught me up to the third heaven." With this abundance of revelation he received, he was in danger of spiritual pride. Sometimes we can get proudful because maybe we've done something. You know, maybe we've led somebody to the Lord and we get so excited, "Look at what I've done." No, look what God has done. We sometimes get proudful and we take credit for something that we didn't even do. Paul was naturally a proud man before he was saved. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court. This was high priest, a court in which the high priest and 71 members made decisions for the Jewish race. This would be kind of like our Supreme Court. These people are up there and they're making these decisions. It'd be easy to get lifted up in pride. But I believe there's another reason God gave Paul the thorn in the flesh. I think that was his conversion. Acts chapter 9 was a pivotal point in the church history when Paul was converted from a persecutor of Christians, to being one of the most influential Bible characters that we have in the New Testament. None other of the other apostles could talk about a conversion like Paul had. Turn over to Acts chapter 9. Look at verses 3 through 6. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 3, says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." With these two extraordinary blessings, there was a temptation for him to become proud. To keep him humble, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. So what is pride? Pride is taking credit for something that God has done. We like to say, "Look at what we've done," right? No, look at what God did. I remember when God provided the funds and we paid off this building and the property. And I said, "Let's not us forget it was God who did it. Let's not try to take credit for that. God is the one who provided that. God is the one who took care of that debt. God did that." When we have faith promise missions commitments turned in, I always say, "Look at what God is doing. He's using this church, but it's His doing." We don't get to take credit for that. We're just being willing vessels to be used of Him, but He's the one that's doing it. So we take credit for something that God's done, or we've taken the glory for something God has done. That is why God cannot use someone who is proud. So when he became a Christian, one of his besetting sins could have become pride. Paul could have been very prideful. God planned to use him to write 14 books in the New Testament, to pen those down, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but with all that knowledge that he'd given him, it'd be easy for Paul to be prideful. The Bible tells us, for unto whomsoever much is given, much is required. Paul could not have been used of God if he had wanted to take credit for the knowledge he was given. None of the other apostles could boast of these supernatural experiences that Paul had, that God had given him. So God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. We all know how painful it is when you get a thorn. I think of several times I'm working out in the beds here when we had the bark in there. I'd be digging through there, and always barehanded. I was always told, put gloves on, put gloves on. You can't do as much with the gloves. They hinder what you're doing. So I'm always out there, and I'd get these slivers from all that bark in my hands and all. And they're not fun. They're not fun to have those. As soon as we get those in, we want them out right away, right? I remember one day being over here on the side, and I had this rose bush over here from Satan himself, I'm sure, attacked me and put two holes in my back, right through my shirt and all, and it stuck there. I had to reach around and pull that thing out of my back. That was not fun. I couldn't wait to get that out of there. We don't like to deal with that pain and stuff. And once we receive it, we want it out as soon as possible. And I can understand Paul, this thorn in the flesh, he wants it out right away. He doesn't want to deal with it anymore. When we're afflicted, we want it over and done with. We don't want it to last. Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove it. 3 times. God said, nope. Sometimes God has to teach us to be humble. Now, no one knows what this thorn in the flesh that Paul had was. There have been people that have come up with all kinds of ideas what it is. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what that thorn in the flesh was. It just tells us there was one. God sometimes tells us, as Christians, that we need to do the same thing that Paul did when God said, no, he's not going to remove it. And he said, gladly. Right? Gladly. Paul was thrilled to be able to go through that and said, gladly. He asked 3 times, though. And he accepted the fact when God said no. God tells us sometimes we need to do the same thing with the thorns in our flesh. Turn over to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We don't generally think of the testing of our faith as a favor, right? I mean, it's not the way we look at it. But God gave Paul this test of a thorn in his flesh. The thorn in the flesh was probably something that others could see that would tend to keep Paul humble. The same can be applied in our lives. Sometimes reducing us from a state of wealth where we were in danger of being exalted above measure. Sometimes God reduces that wealth so that we will stay humble. Sometimes by suffering, having our character smeared by someone. Sometimes by want of success in our enterprises. And if in the ministry, by withholding His Spirit sometimes by suffering us to fall into sin, greatly humbling us before the world. Such was the case with David. Such was the case with Peter. God often permits us to see in our weakness that we need humility. How could David be lifted up in pride after the murder of Uriah? How could Peter be lifted up in pride after denying the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times? It'd be hard to do. Sometimes God allows us to fall on our face to keep us humble. He knows exactly what it'll take to humble us. We should be thankful for any calamity that would humble us. Concerning Paul's thorn in the flesh, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The psalmist said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Before the psalmist said that, in chapter 119 of Psalms, verse 71, if you back up just a few verses to verse 67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. One of the most dangerous times in our Christian life is when things are going good. When they're going good, we don't do some of the things we should do. We don't attend church as often as we should. We don't read our Bible as often as we should. We don't pray as much as we should. We don't witness as much as we should. And we don't walk as close to the Lord as we should. Because things are going so good, we think that the busyness in our life and all distracts us from all the things of God, and we don't do the things that we should do. And then God has to take something and afflict us, that we realize how much we need Him, how much we need to be in church, how much we need to be in prayer, how much we need to be in the Word, how much we need to be witnessing, and just how close we need to be walking with Him. The psalmist is saying, "It is good for me when God afflicted me." Anything that would lead a man or woman to obey God is a blessing and a favor. It's only when someone's been afflicted with something that put them on their backside in a hospital bed that they realize the gods of this world have replaced the living God in their life. When someone's been afflicted with bankruptcy, that they realize that they have allowed the almighty dollar to replace the almighty God in their life. I've said over and over and over that man treats the dollar with more respect than they treat God. It's crazy how much man loves money. The Bible is very clear. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not money itself. Money is a tool. But many, many have chased after money and neglected God. Whatever leads a sinner to secure the salvation of his soul is a gain to him. Why we're taught over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Matthew 5, verse 29 says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." The Lord's not teaching here that we should literally pluck our eye out or cut off our hand. He's not saying that we should literally do that, but he is teaching that it would be better for us to be afflicted and lost both of our eyes than to go to hell with both of our eyes. In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Common greeting when people ask us how we're doing. How are you feeling, right? How are you doing today? We usually reply, "I feel great," right? Which many times is not really the truth. Many times we're not feeling great, but we don't want anybody to know how we really are feeling. I believe Job said it well in Job 5:7, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Some might be thinking, why could not God have created a life with no trouble? Wouldn't it be nice if there were no troubles in the world? No afflictions that we had to deal with? No problems? That it was just easy street all the time? I mean, many would think, boy, that'd be great, right? And could not God have done that? He could have. He could have said, you know, life is going to be easy street, just like some preachers say once you get saved, it's easy street, which is a bold-faced lie. But he could have done that. But it's good for us to be afflicted. First of all, because trouble makes us strong. In weightlifting, you're told no pain, no gain, right? Weightlifters will tell you that they aren't going to get any gain if there isn't any pain. And so they continue on. They're not going to get strong if they don't go through some pain. As we go through life and the storms come, when the storms come, we reach out to grab hold of something. When storms come in our life, we need to hold on to something for dear life. We need to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, like our very life depended on it. Trouble makes us exercise our faith. David said, "It is good that I have been afflicted." Then two, trouble makes us sympathetic. One of the mistakes that we make in the United States of America is we keep sending rich people to Washington, D.C. We send them to Washington, D.C., wanting them to understand our suffering and our pain and all, and they don't understand suffering and pain because they don't go through it like we do. We want them to understand the sufferings of the average man, but they can't because all they care about is going to Washington, D.C. and making more and more money for themselves. We keep electing rich men and women, and every decision they make is based on personal gain. We keep sending there, hoping that they'll feel our pain. But let me tell you this, it takes suffering to understand suffering. It takes heartache to understand heartaches. It takes loneliness to understand loneliness. It takes poverty to understand poverty. It takes sickness to understand sickness. And it takes the loss of a loved one to understand the loss of a loved one. We tell people sometimes we know how they feel, when in all actuality we don't. Unless we've actually gone where they've gone, we don't understand it. I've had people that have lost a parent. I understand what that's like. People have lost a grandparent. I understand what that's like. People who have lost a spouse, I don't understand that. I can't understand that. I haven't lost a spouse. Praise the Lord, I haven't. I don't know what they're going through. I remember telling my dad, I know what it's like to lose my mother, but I don't know what it's like to lose my wife. I have no idea what you're going through, but I'm here for you. See, sometimes we tell people we understand what they're going through when we've never gone through it, and we have no idea. We have to experience something before we can sympathize with someone who's going through that same thing. Some people readily turn to Christ because they understand He knows about suffering. He suffered greatly, and He can understand our sufferings. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He suffered. He went through the things we go through, and yet never sinned. Trying to comfort people in trouble, we say to them as they pour their hearts out to us, I understand. But unless we have suffered the same that they've suffered, we do not understand. And we find it difficult to be sympathetic to their needs. We can't feel the pain of others until we have felt it ourselves. Afflictions in life can enlarge our capacity to understand and help other people, makes us strong, and makes us sympathetic. And David said, it is good that I have been afflicted. Then number three, it makes us spiritual. You'll never see a person who is deeply and profoundly spiritual until you've seen someone who's gone through suffering. Many would agree that the times in our lives when God was most real to us was those times when we most needed Him to help us get through a hard time in our life. We can go further yet and say that nothing short of a disaster or some sort of calamity will make many individuals aware of God and their desperate need of Him. It's interesting as you talk to missionaries and all, and I think of Brother O'Brien and how easy it's becoming to share the gospel with the people in Ukraine. They've been afflicted. Over and over and over. I cannot imagine what they live under with a threat of bombings constantly overhead. I can't imagine that. But see, life is short. And we say that, but they see how short it is. Because people are being bombed to death on a regular basis, day after day after day. Verse 67, David said, before I was afflicted, he says, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. In the midst of afflictions, we grow spiritually. This is why God has allowed certain afflictions and misfortunes to come our way. It is a merciful God who permits calamity to bring rebellious and wandering children home again. I know firsthand, when I was not walking with the Lord, when I was off doing my own thing, God allowed an accident to happen. Turned my world upside down. Went from making fairly good money to no income at all, being the sole supporter of my family. No health insurance. 2 surgeries needed, both my wife and my daughter. They don't do surgery until you pay for them up front when you have no insurance. When you have no income, it's hard to pay for surgeries up front. But we took care of it because God provided. It showed me how much I needed Him. Affliction came. I deal 32 years, almost 33 years later, I still deal with the pain of that accident. It's a constant reminder that I don't ever want to be walking away from God again. He allows these things to happen to bring His rebellious and wandering children home again. Takes adversity in our lives to help us reach our full potential. David certainly had his share. Much of it was brought on by himself, of course. But he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We have to remember that just because things don't make sense to us does not mean that they do not make sense to God. Just because we don't understand now does not mean that we will never understand. I believe that when we get to heaven, I believe that God's going to show us why He did some of the things He did. And we'll be walking around saying, it all makes sense now. I know why He allowed that accident to happen in my life. I needed to get right with Him. He had great things that He wanted to accomplish in my life, and I needed to be right with Him. If God did the things the way I do things, if God thought the way I think, it would take no faith to live the Christian life. But He tells us His ways and His thoughts are not our ways and our thoughts. So it requires faith on our part. We need to trust Him. Many times we face something and it seems completely senseless, but it makes sense to God. It's good for us to be afflicted. Makes us strong, makes us sympathetic, and it makes us spiritual. As we go through these times, and if you're not afflicted right now, hold on. Hold on. Because we're probably either coming out of one, or in the middle of one, or we're about to go into one. God uses them to keep us humble. God uses them to keep us strong, sympathetic, spiritual. In everything, give thanks. Next time you're going through something, Next time you're afflicted, take the time to thank God for it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the psalmist, David. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Not something that we think would come from the lips of a rational man. But after going through this, we understand that it is good that I have been afflicted. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst who has never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray today would be the day. For those of us who have, Father, I pray as we are going through these times when we're afflicted, I pray that we would be able to praise you and thank you, that we would be humble. Father, as we have this time of invitation, we have a time to do business with you as you've done business with us. I pray that we'd use this time wisely, and we thank you for it. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able, as the piano plays this morning. If you need to come, you come.